Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm really excited to have Rajan Sathuraman. So sorry if I didn't pronounce that, but CEO of LatentView Analytics, and quite interesting company. But Rajan, why don't you go and introduce yourself?
Sure. No, thank you, Dean, for having me on the program. I'm Rajan Sathuraman, CEO of LatentView Analytics, as Dean introduced. I've been with the firm since 2016. Interestingly, my journey at LatentView started with me coming into the role of Chief People Officer, which is the role I played for the first 3 years. And then I took over as the CEO in 2019. So it's been about roughly 6.5 years from that time onwards. It's been a really interesting ride. There have been several milestones for us in the last 6 years. We went from being a private limited company to a public listed company. We are now listed on the Indian stock exchanges for the last 4 years. We are the only listed company in the pure play data analytics space in India. There are others who are looking to do that, but we have the distinction of being the first one. We are a full spectrum data analytics company, right? As the name suggests, we do everything from analytics consulting and strategy, where we help organizations think through their set of initiatives, help them prioritize, prepare a roadmap. There's a quite bit of work that we do on the data engineering front, helping companies prepare the data foundations and the platform before they can do the analytics. And then the bulk of the work, of course, is both the look back and the look ahead analytics. The look ahead analytics space is, of course, getting really interesting in the last few years, ever since the advent of generative AI and now agentic, and everybody is talking about that. But there is a lot of predictive prescriptive analytics that we were doing even prior to that. So that's a fairly important component of the work that we do. Personally, I come from a management consulting background. I spent about 20 years with Accenture before I joined LatentView. The first 15 years were all focused on business and management consulting, solving problems around entry, growth strategy, cost reduction, supply chain, performance improvement, and so on. I worked with a very broad spectrum of companies, both Indian as well as multinationals during that period. My last 5 years in Accenture was when I really got into analytics in a big way. We did a lot of analysis in my first 15 years, but analytics from a statistically significant standpoint, that was in the last 5 years. I happened to be the HR analytics lead for Accenture in India. I went from a client-facing role to an internal role where I was running the talent supply chain for Accenture in India. And I also took on the role as HR analytics lead. So the last 5 years were all focused on the people domain. And that was the reason for the segue into LatentView, right, where I came in as the chief people officer to begin with. Yeah, so that's been my story and journey so far.
Yeah, amazing. And yeah, it's so important too, what's happening now with intelligence and the models and Gen AI, as you talked about, and data. So that's an amazing journey. So congratulations. I was curious, at LatentView, when you work across data engineering, data science, visualization and advisory services you guys do, how do you balance the technical and the business side of data leadership?
Right. No, I feel that, there's a lot of talk these days, right? Everyone quotes the recent MIT study that came out, or the McKinsey observations, right? On how a lot of analytics and AI initiatives really don't give that kind of impact that organizations are looking for. One thing that we have been very clear, right, from our founding days, we are in our 20th year, by the way, right? We were founded in 2006, so we are actually in the 20th year. Right through those early days and all the work that we have done, the starting point has always been the use case, right? The business use case, and what aspect of the core metrics of the organization are we really looking to address? In some sense, everything that we do needs to have some kind of relevance to the P&L statement, right, of the income statement of the company, right? Whether we are impacting revenue, right, top line metrics, or whether it is cost control and margin enhancement metrics, right? I think that orientation and approach is super important for any organization that is looking to embark or further advance in their analytics journey. No point in chasing the latest shiny object, nor is it helpful, right, if an analytics initiative is just done for the sake of experimentation and POC. The real look at has to be which metric and which KPI am I impacting? What is my set of hypotheses on how I can impact that metric? And therefore, what is the data and analysis that I need to do to prove or disprove that hypothesis? That's what leads to good quality decision making. And that's really something that's been at the core of, you know, all the work that we do.
Yeah, that's great. It's so important. There's so much hype in the industry, and there's so many, at least what Gartner's reporting, like failed initiatives, because people are just racing to just to start applying AI to their business. And I think what you said, it's so important. Oh, what's the biggest priority to impact growth or increase profit? Or so, yeah, I couldn't agree more, and trying to bring it right back to business principles and then apply the technology.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. So what, you've worked with so many companies. What do you see the biggest gap between companies that talk about being data driven and then those that are actually executing in a meaningful way?
Right. I would say that the biggest difference is really the culture and the tone at the top. The organizations that we have seen move up the maturity curve, right, and then really start using a data-driven approach and an analytical approach to decision-making, pretty much the mandate has to come from the board and the C-suite. One of the organizations that we work with, they are one of our top three clients. They have this data-driven operating model, which is at the core of all their decision-making, which means that any meeting that happens within the organization, you need to come with the data and the analysis that supports why you are recommending what you are recommending, right? And if that is not there, the leadership doesn't hesitate, right, to drop that item off the agenda, right, and give time to people so that they can go back and do that stuff and then come back, right? So in some sense, make as many decisions data-driven as possible. This doesn't mean that you make all decisions just algorithmic or formulae-driven. Of course, there is always room for human judgment and discretion. But if you don't come with the fundamental analysis, right, then discretion is just operating in a bit of a vacuum and in a fuzzy space, right? That's what I see as the biggest difference. It doesn't matter what type of decision we are talking about. No, we have helped organizations, for example, make strategic calls about where should they be investing a big money in, right, in terms of expanding their business domain or their markets and so on. You also help organizations make decisions just in terms of what should be the quantum of inventory that they stock on a particular SKU, right? So that entire spectrum, if it can be made data-driven or if it can be supported and enhanced through the data and analytics, that is really what differentiates. And that tone has to really come from the top. That's what I feel.
Yeah, that's great. I'm curious, like, when you were at Accenture, you were applying analytics to HR, and like, where's the state of the art today? Or what's your point of view on, because people are so important, and culture is so important, and HR is critical in that role. Like, what's your thoughts, or what can you share with the audience about using analytics and or AI in just shaping that whole culture and hiring and just the whole people side of things?
Yeah, no, I'm really glad that you asked this question, right? It's a very interesting topic and one that is very close to my heart, right? Because of the time that I have spent in that space. We see organizations using a data analytical approach when it comes to the customer end of the spectrum, right? And you see so much of action on that front, right? Whether it is segmentation, cross-sell, loyalty, personalization, churn analytics, lifetime value, right? All of that happens at the customer end of the spectrum. And a lot of work that's being done today is really about how deeply and how richly can I understand my customer so that I can tailor the right kind of products, offers, interactions, right? Next best action, so that I'm constantly considering everything that I'm doing as an organization from the customer's perspective, right? So there's a great deal of effort and focus on that. But interestingly, at the other end of the spectrum is where your people are. And they are also people, right? Customers, yeah, they are people. And it's a very complex topic, right? How do you understand the customer psyche? The same set of models and approach apply to the employee end of the spectrum. At the end of the day, many organizations today, even manufacturing companies, ones that have invested significant capital in factories and manufacturing capabilities, their people are a very important asset, right? And if you don't understand that end of the spectrum and tailor the employee experience, tailor the employee life cycle, lifetime value, right? And how do you retain employees and do everything that you do at the customer end of the spectrum, you are actually missing the bus on a lot of stuff, right? More so as the economy evolves to being more and more service oriented, I think it is super important, right, that we understand people, right, in all their glory and detail. And I think there's a lot of work that can be done. In my days in Accenture and even here at LeydenView, not only I've been helping companies with simple matters, simple questions like predicting attrition or demand for a certain skill set, looking at what is the kind of employee experience and surveys and so on, but even complex topics like what can be the next best employee action that you can take? What does an employee lifetime value look like? How do you predict leadership and succession planning? These are topics that can be addressed through data analytics. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, it is always with the combination of empathy and understanding and discretion, right? You don't want to just throw policy right at your employees, just like how you don't want to throw policy at your customers. But data analytics can be a really strong tool, right? And understanding that end of the spectrum as well.
Yeah, and I tell you, there's so much that everyone can do with Gen AI and the models, and it's incredible. But there seems like there's so much hype in the industry right now. It seems like everyone's just trying to raise billions of dollars, and they talk about replacing all these jobs. And the reality is, I'm curious your point of view, but if you actually are building and seeing what's happening, like you can innovate amazingly, but it seems like it's still a new team member on your team. It's going to enhance a lot of roles and functions. But what's your thoughts on job replacement, industry replacement, AI? People are predicting the future, but like, what about today? What's real today in the next couple of years?
So what is real today? I see conflicting points of view. There are those who say that the agentic revolution is already here, right? And people are being replaced by agents, right, as we speak, right? And so many jobs are disappearing and so on. There is some truth in that as well, given certain type of jobs in the spectrum. But then there are others. Today, I was going through a video by Andrew Karpathy, right, an AI leader at Tesla, and he was talking about how the agentic infrastructure needs another 10 years, one more decade of evolution, right, before it can come anywhere close to a highly intelligent human, right, who might be able to do the job, right? But of course, that also means that you're talking about jobs at a certain end of the spectrum, right, and not all the jobs are the same. I think there is real opportunity today to look at jobs which are monotonous, which are voluminous, which are complex just in terms of the number of data points and variables that one needs to look at, and then bring in a lot more data analytics, AI, machine learning, agentic capabilities, right, into them in order to drive efficiency as well as effectiveness. But then there is also a lot more that is getting opened up as new possibilities. In one sense, I see that everything that's been happening, especially in the last 3 years, right, from the ChatGPT revolution, right, to everybody talking agentic today, it's creating more and more of a level playing field, meaning that very deep coding and programming skills, for example, may not be needed for everybody with a bright idea. If you have a great idea in terms of how you can impact a particular problem statement or a process or a workflow within a company, you can actually bring the power, right, of agentic and Gen AI to solving and addressing that, which means that everybody with bright ideas can become a creator, can become a builder. And that is what I'm expecting, right? And that should actually unlock a lot more possibilities in terms of what people can do. At least in the medium term, I'm expecting that the opportunities it will open up will also be very interesting and numerous in number. Of course, people need to look for the right kind of areas, right? No point in saying that I'm going to hold on to some of those tasks at the other end of the spectrum and say that, you know what, I don't want to automate it, or I don't want to bring agentic into that. So applying the right kind of technology and tool sets to the right problem, that might be the need of the hour. One other way that we are addressing that, as Leighton, we used to say that just like how systems integration was an important need when companies were implementing ERPs as well as multiple custom applications and so on, we feel that today the need of the hour is an AI integrator, right? How do you bring the power of AI with the numerous developments that is happening all around And how do you bring the right tool sets to bear on the problem that you want to address? So in some sense, we are positioning ourselves also as an AI integrator, right? Helping companies navigate the complexity that is there in the space, and how do you make sense of it?
Yeah, I think that video is a good video that you're referring to. And it's more of a balanced view where we do a lot of development with the models, and 60, 70, 80% being right is great. But in some case, but you always need to have that human interaction. And so it's like a partner in automation, a partner in execution, and an amazing partner. But to leave it on its own right now for critical situations, you have to think that through. And so, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And yeah, AI integrator, there's amazing work your company can do with. Everyone wants to know how to improve go-to-market with AI, improve effectiveness. And yeah, the opportunities are tremendous over the next couple of decades. So let me ask you, so like everyone's Gen AI, these large language models, like how should organizations think about readiness? Like what foundational capabilities must they have or build first to leverage all these things?
I think needless to say, the data infrastructure becomes super important. Just like how in early days of computing, right, we used to say garbage in, garbage out. I think that is as true as ever before. The more complex your AI and ML and agentic models, the more important the data ecosystems become. And most organizations, even today, are challenged by a very fragmented data ecosystem, right? Not to mention questions and concerns around reliability, upkeep, confidentiality, privacy, cybersecurity matters. So any new systems that we build, whether they are based on simpler machine learning models or whether we are talking generative or agentic AI, there needs to be a great deal of confidence building that needs to happen, right, on the data ecosystem itself. Only then people will feel comfortable that they can relegate some of the thinking and decision making, right, to that system, and then start seeing it as a real value add, a supporter and enhancer, right, of their decision making capabilities. Otherwise, people are just going to keep second guessing it. So I feel that is a very important aspect. The other part of it is the clarity on the use cases that you want to go after. There has to be at least an initial set of hypotheses in terms of where am I today as a business? How am I doing, right, in different areas? So simpler approaches around benchmarking, looking at my most important KPIs, and then figuring out where do I stand today vis-a-vis the competition, the best in the industry, the best in the world, and then using them as information to decide, okay, here is a set of 20 use cases that I can consider, right? That needs to happen. Unless we marry the two, this whole data platform thing also can become a wild goose chase, because there's no point in just keeping on building more and more complex data platforms if you don't have clarity on what problems, right, do you want to tackle. So they go hand in hand. I see organizations which take a very use case driven approach and then build the entire data platform right around that. I also see organizations which say that, you know what, this data platform is a cost of doing business. I got to do it, right? It's like how I viewed ERP 20 years back or 15 years back. Without an ERP, I can't run my business. Likewise, without a solid data ecosystem, I can't run my business. It depends on the maturity of the organization, right? And the confidence and then comfort that they have that, yes, I know the right use cases to go after, right, as I build it. That's what will define, right, the people who can be successful at this.
Yeah, I think that is great advice because, yeah, when you go into these large enterprises, even medium enterprises that are even tech oriented, there's just data sprawl, data silos, data quality. And so I think that's great advice. Yeah. What's the most impactful thing should we prioritize that will affect the business? And it's a huge unlock when you get the data that's good. It's a huge unlock when you can apply intelligence and the models against it with improving some go-to-market or workflow. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. This might be an unfair question because you're the CEO, but like when you look from like pilot to production scale, like it's hard with AI to get that. But what do you see the most common pitfalls in like scaling an analytics and AI program?
Again, I think the answers are not very hard to guess at. The amount of belief that you build, even when you're doing the pilot, I think that is super important. A pilot or a POC should not be some kind of an ivory tower exercise that a group of analysts are doing, maybe with or without a partner, right, on their own, but disconnected from the business users and the stakeholders. That is the best recipe for a disaster, right? involvement from business stakeholders, ownership of the business problem that we want to go after, and confidence in the data, right? That coupled with the necessary culture and change management, right? I think all of these are important ingredients in moving from pilots and POCs to scaling it. In fact, if you just take just a simple inventory of pilots and POCs and look at how many of them are successful based on the original metrics that were defined, a lot of them could be classified as a successful pilot, but they still don't see the light of the day from a production standpoint, because in many instances, the whole process would have been run as a silo, right? Disconnected from the business users and the business decision makers. I think the more you are able to involve them in the initial hypothesis generation and the thought process, the simple problem-solving process itself for figuring out how do we get to that analytics, right, that supports the decision making, that can be biggest lever and differentiator. I think in our experience, the more we get sponsorship from the end users and the people in the business side of the spectrum, and not just treating it as an IT project or a data project, that's what really differentiates the success of pilots.
Yeah, that's a great point. Even when you're a commercial software vendor and you're defining your go-to-market and your ideal customer profile, it's the same problem. It's like you better involve your customers in the solutions and what's their priorities. And I love Clayton Christensen, like what jobs to be done, like what improvements and what's the priority of the business of jobs to be done. And then, yeah, because so it starts with that, and then you can apply all this amazing tech and clean up the data and then put some intelligence against it. Yeah, I love that. So like looking ahead, like in the next 3 to 5 years, what shifts do you expect in how enterprises consume and deploy AI and analytics?
I feel that the agentic revolution that is happening, enabled by generative AI capabilities, is a real shift that is happening. In fact, we are in the process of building agentic architectures and approaches to addressing a lot of the work that we used to do, especially in the diagnostic descriptive analytics and visualization. For example, one of the tools that we are building called VizAI, it really looks at how you can quickly create the first version of a dashboard given a natural language description of the problem statement that you're trying to solve, so that you don't need to actually do a whole lot of that iterative process, right? And that is the intelligence that's getting built into that solution, into that architecture. The good thing is that a lot of these problems, as well as the algorithmic approaches that are used to handle them, they are time tested, meaning that we know them from the past, and therefore you can actually use these evolving architectures to create a first base level ready. It may not be the final solution that one is looking for. There is so much more enterprise context, right, that one has to overlay on top of that. But the starting points can be fundamentally different. And I think that means that organizations can really accelerate their analytics journey. They don't need to think about these as long periods of gestation, right, where you really need to go through. You can actually jump into a problem, get some of these tool sets, get a good starting point, and then move fast, right? I think that is really what will be the defining characteristic in the next 3 years. This doesn't mean that an agentic generative AI-based approach will solve everything for you. And that is the reason for the AI integrator role that I talked about earlier. But given that there is so much innovation and evolution happening in this ecosystem, organizations will be remiss if they don't capitalize, right, on some of the developments, right? And that is where that leapfrogging and acceleration can really happen. So in some sense, I feel that the next 3 years are really going to be about how do organizations look at accelerating their analytics journey and their maturity? How do they bring more of the decision making, right, and use cases into the ambit of data and analytics, instead of doing it on the side using spreadsheets or back of the envelope calculations or gut feel, as many of them still do, right? And that means that you're creating even more of an objective framework, right, for high quality decision making. That is really what we are looking forward to.
Yeah, and we're all on this journey together, like companies like you, companies like us, and a lot of other companies where there's a lot of innovation and uncertainty in the future. But I think I like some of the things that you talked about here. First, start with like really key business impact ideas, but then not just clean the data, but get data ready for AI, because the better data you feed to the AI, the better answers you get. And there's just a lot of metadata and business terminology in every company that you want to start to model alongside your production data, and then you're building for the future that then you can solve use agentic or put some LLM intelligence against decision making. And do you think it's different if you're a small organization or just at the beginning of the data and AI journey? What advice do you have for what's the top 2 to 3 actions that they should take now? Is there a difference between the enterprise and small, or maybe that's not even the question. It's like, what advice should people take or actions should people take now on their data and AI journey?
Yeah, I would say that maybe 2-3 things, okay? Within that domain of their responsibility and accountability, identify the top 2-3 KPIs. Most people will have an intuitive understanding, if not an explicit understanding, in their roles. What are they responsible for delivering, right? The key KPIs that matter to them. And then ask the question on, how am I making decisions today, right, that impact this KPI, right? And what kind of approach am I, how much objectivity, data, and analytics am I bringing to the table, right, in making those decisions? And that can be the starting point. And then you start asking the question, if I need to make a more objective decision, what is the data that I need to analyze? What do I need to understand better? And do I have that ecosystem, right? So these can be starting points for doing a little bit of a self-check, right, on where are we today on the analytics maturity spectrum? And therefore, what could be the first 2-3 things, right, that one kicks off? It'll be very hard to say that I'm going to bring everything under the ambit. But if you pick 2-3 areas like that and then say that, let me get that sorted out from a data ecosystem, from the issues and the hypothesis that I identify and set up, and from the validation approaches and the analytical approaches that I decide to embark on, that can be the basis for the pilots and the POCs that somebody does. And then look at how do you scale it going forward.
Yeah, I think that's great practical advice because a lot of companies have a lot of metrics and KPIs, and then it just becomes a lot of noise. And I just think that's great practical advice. Like, what's important? How are you making decisions today on those most important 2 or 3 things? And then, like, where's the gap where you can actually have more intelligence through AI and data to aid you in that? And yeah, that's some really good advice. Was there a question I didn't ask? I always like to ask that, like something that you want to share with the audience that we didn't cover?
Yeah, the one thing I'll say and I'll encourage everybody is that you cannot be a spectator on the side and not get involved and get your hands dirty in the process. I think that is important. It doesn't mean that one needs to know the intricacies of random forest algorithm or how Google TensorFlow works, for example. But they need to know what is the art of the possible, right? The 30,000 feet level understanding in terms of the tool sets and the evolution that is happening. What are people using for? And experiment with it, right? Hands on a bit. If people do that, then their comfort with all of this will also increase, right? Then it doesn't just become something where I tell what I'm looking for and somebody else goes and builds it. But I have a say and I have an understanding of how that is going to evolve. And I have some idea that this is the ecosystem, right? I think that'll be important, right? That decision makers and business users can also become practitioners, right? In some sense, in terms of experimenting and playing around with the kind of things, right, that they want to see implemented within their organizations. To that extent, they will also be able to influence the course and the direction that these projects can take on within their ambit. So that is something that I would always encourage. A lot of the top clients that we work with, one differentiating factor that I see is that they have personally experimented with some of the stuff, right? And therefore, they are able to come with a richer sense of understanding of the art of the possible. And that's what makes it more engaging and interesting for us as well, right, when we work with them.
Yeah, I think that's so important because if you spend your time reading the internet, you think that you can pretty much apply AI to anything and then have half your workforce and increase ARR by $1 billion in 3 months. It's just, so I agree with you. Play with the technology, see where it's at, understand the potential and the limitations because there's such great opportunity for everybody, but don't believe everything you hear, even from big tech on where things are because it's like this huge hype, but yet the amazing technology coming out and things we all can do now is like next level. So yeah, that's just also good practical advice. Understand that. And then when they partner with a company like yours, they'll be able to hone in on have real expectations. And then as you keep saying, hone in on really business impactful projects. And yeah, that's really good. So how can people get in touch with you after listening to this podcast?
Yeah, on LinkedIn, my profile name is Rajan Sethuraman. You can also reach out to me at rajan.sethuraman@latentview.com. Those would be the best ways. Typically, I'm monitoring my email all the days and also my LinkedIn. Please also visit our website. It's www.leydenview.com. There's a lot of good stuff there in terms of the work that we are doing. And there are multiple workshops that we are organizing on these kind of topics, right? In terms of, for example, how do you come up with your strategy for leveraging generative or agentic AI, right? So these are the kind of questions that we are constantly debating and working on with our clients. And that content and material is out there as well, right, on the website. I would encourage people, right, to go and spend some time and write to us, reach out to us, right, as they deem fit.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was practical advice, which is just so good to hear, opposed to this be $1 billion company and only have one employee. You know, that some of the things that
those days will
claim.
Come probably, but maybe they're quite a few distance away.
But thank you for coming on and appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean, for having me on the show. It was a great interaction and look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.